Thank you so very much for that. Take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please, to the book of Galatians. We'll stay there for just a little bit, but to the book of Galatians in chapter number 5. Galatians 5. Truer words have never been spoken that the faculty enjoy the breaks as much as the young people do. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So if you're looking forward to the ends of final exam, say amen. Amen. If you're looking forward to the rapture before final exam, say amen. Amen. Oh, okay, there we go. Well, good. Galatians chapter 5 is where we are, just for a moment. And in chapter number 5, I'll invite your attention, if you will, to really two verses as we begin our thoughts this morning. Galatians chapter 5, and first of all, in verse number 16, if you'll look at that, the Bible records it in this manner. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a promise. God said through the Apostle Paul to the church at Galatia, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then if you'll allow your eyes to scoot right on down the text, and you'll come to verse number 25. The Bible records it like this. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So here you have two verses of Scripture, pretty well close together, but they say the same thing almost. Notice, if you will, in verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's a promise. And it's a very strong promise in the original language. It really gives an emphasis to it, that this is a promise that if I'm walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh, the Bible says I shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But then we come to verse number 25, similarly in theme. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's a significant difference between the two. The first is a promise, the second is a pattern. The word walk in the first verse that we read is a different word in the original language than the second. The first word has the idea of just walking around in, well, let's say as a family member. You're walking around and as a family or among family members. Maybe it's in a workplace. Maybe it's here at school, in the dorm, or in the classroom, or down at the commons. You're just kind of walking around in life. And he is saying, as we walk around in life, he says, if we walk after the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then the rest of that text is really dealing with different concourses of life. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he talks about a lot of different things, the works of the flesh, and he talks about that, and then he goes to the fruit of the Spirit. And so in conclusion of that, he brings us to verse 25. So as we're walking around, and he says, if we're walking after the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he tells us how to know we're in the flesh because of the works of the flesh. And then he gives us the evidences that we're walking after the Spirit by letting us hear and see the fruit of the Spirit. So the conclusion is not the promise, but the pattern. The pattern is this, and it's in the word walk. It's a different word. The first word meant just kind of walking around in life. The second word has the idea of walking in a row as a soldier would walk in step as he is supposed to be with the other soldier so that he is right in line where he's supposed to be. And he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So as you and I are here today, and oh, we're represented in our lives by different things. Some are students, some are faculty. Some are here because they just want to be in a good chapel service and hear the testimonies. I delight in hearing those every Monday and Thursday. And maybe other reasons that you're here or different concourses of life, but nonetheless, you have the promise of God, but then you also have the pattern to follow. In a straight line, Well, what dictates that straight line? Is it Brachiology or is it some other idea that maybe is? No, we have the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we have that. So with your permission today, we're going to travel a little different way and in the way I normally teach. I try to preach and teach in a thematic exposition. But today, I'm going to preach something that maybe some of you, in fact, I know some of you have heard me teach, whether it was in counseling or in some other class. And yet I believe it provides a wonderful template for almost every setting in which we find ourselves. Whether you're searching out the will of God, whether you're dealing with a mind that's been inundated with maybe some things of the past that bitterness would love to take root and to defile any righteous thought that you might have. It serves as a detour from the will of God to distract and then ultimately to defile. Perhaps it's something like that. Or perhaps it's maybe things that you've witnessed and watched and looked at that you've long since asked God to forgive you, and yet somehow in surround sound 3D, they still say in there, and you'll hear individuals say, once it's in there, there is no remedy for that. And I don't believe from the Word of God that that's accurate, that the Bible tells us that we're to have a pure mind and a pure heart and a pure walk and reach out of the purity of our hearts of love those things that God would have for us to do. So there is a remedy for those minds that are completely overtaken by things of the past that have been done, perhaps abuses, or perhaps things we've done or said or thought about. So today, with your permission, I would like us just to examine a template that God gave to me several years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. Well, actually, it was just before moving here. Actually, no, it wasn't. It was after I was here. And I received a call from a young couple, professionals, in Asheville, and they asked if I could come and counsel. And I said, if you get your... Because the next day, one of the members of that was going to be taken to the hospital to be put on medication for certain things. And they said, preacher, we just don't know that that's what God wants for us. And so as I said, well, if you'll call your preacher, who is the pastor now of the church where I was, if you'll call him, and I have his permission to come and to counsel you, because he's your pastor now, then I'll be glad to come. Well, through the years, I've had the privilege of doing some counseling. And I've counseled in different ways and kind of put it together, but for years, several years, I had prayed and said, Lord, would you please give me something? I've tried to do it before and it's just never come. But this young couple is about to go into a setting that they don't want to go into, and it may be necessary, Lord, but when I get there, and if they can be delivered by your word and trust in your word, would you please allow me to have that? I'd prayed that prayer a number of times before, and yet I just had to kind of, as I would counsel folks, I would just kind of use this scripture and that and this over here and that and try to draw it in to where it would be a blessing and a help to them. But this is the honest truth. As I was headed towards Asheville, and some of you will know where 74 goes into 26 and you go up to the Saluda grade, as I had prayed that all the way down 74, and I said, Dear Lord, I need this for these people. It's not about me. But Lord, they need something that after I leave, because there's going to be a lot of information that's going to be dispensed. And it's going to be like the proverbial getting a drink of water out of a fire hydrant. And so Lord, if you'll help me to put it together as a template to where when I leave, they can come back to that template and they can find their way by way of biblical principle. And this is the honest truth, that by the time I started up the grade, by the time I got to Saluda, God gave me this entire outline. And so if you're taking notes, I would invite you, and some of you already know the outline, it's found by the word trust, T-R-U-S-T. And so we can make it practical so that maybe you can help someone. And if you'll write T in a vertical way, T and then under that a ways, R and all your way down to T-R-U-S-T. And so what we're going to do, as well as looking at this outline, is we're going to deal with the matter of mental purity. Mental purity. Now, we're not going to go into all the detail of it. That's not why we're here. And I believe the Lord would just have me to give to you this template, because I believe this template is applicable to about almost any setting in life in which you're looking for God's will. and looking to take a stand, whether it's doctrinally or a stand against your old flesh, no matter what it is. Because as we walk around in life, we're going to have various opportunities and oppositions. Or as we're walking in a straight line, Romans 7 says, I see then that there's a law. When I would do good, evil is present with me. He said there's a war that's going on in the mind, the flesh against the spirit. And then Paul concludes that text in chapter 7 where he says, I see then another law, that with my mind I myself serve the law of God. With my flesh, the Bible says, that's housed within me, I serve the law of sin. So as I'm speaking today to my heart and to yours, if you'll allow me to just lay out a template, giving these five things, T-R-U-S-T, that I think will help us. But if we use the understanding about mental purity, I believe we'll find that to be a help from Proverbs chapter 16. We'll not go there right now, but if you'll allow me to go to one other text, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 says this, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. You know that verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. The mind there, or the stayed, the word stayed has the idea of leaning upon. Okay, you're familiar with the New Testament text of casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And trust not in thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and so forth. So the word stayed here has that same idea in mind, to lean, to lay, to rest or support. So when he says in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. There's the word, trust. Because he trusteth in thee. Now let me pause for a moment. A question that should have an obvious answer in a congregation like this. But are you trusting in him? We heard about a school bill that's been paid. We've heard other illustrations over the last several weeks about someone who's gotten saved. We've heard other illustrations about, well, just a number of things. But may I ask you, what's the caliber of your trust in the Lord today? As you're walking around life and just going as a student, or maybe it's a child, as a son or a daughter of a parent, or maybe you're the parent with children, or the employer or the employee, as you're walking around, that's the promise that we have, that we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh if we're walking after the Spirit. But then what is the pattern? And for those of us who are concerned about our mental purity and walking with the Lord, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, then we understand that he says here, thou wilt keep him in perfect or complete peace, whose mind is leaning, his state is supported on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. All right, now the template. A little bit of a different message this morning. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. With each of these, I'll give you what the letters stand for, and then I'll give you the passage of Scripture that corresponds to it. So, as we're thinking about this matter of trust, T-R-U-S-T, and we're thinking about because he trusteth in thee, of mental purity, but the word trust simply stands for total commitment. Total commitment. Of course, that'd be Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He goes on and he says, we're not to be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect what? Will of God. And he talks about other things in there, but the idea there is that we are to have that total commitment. Now, no doubt you, like I, have made commitments in the past, and we really meant well. I mean, we really did. We meant that we're going to follow through on that. And yet, somewhere down the way, we look back and we say, well, I really intended to, but next time I'm really going to get it accomplished. When you and I are talking with individuals, and maybe it's the one in the mirror, and there's something that needs to be done in this matter of having a pattern to follow, of walking in a straight line, not just walking around and allowing the Holy Spirit to say, Randy, be careful here, and you're in lion country, or this is Ephesians 6 of taking out the sword of the Spirit, But we're just kind of walking around in the concourses of life of which we regularly travel. And yet we need to come to that place where we understand if we're going to be successful in trusting in the Lord, we must have that absolute total commitment. That total commitment of Romans 12, 1 and 2 as we've discerned the will of God for where we are right now. You remember what the Bible says that in 2 Peter 1, and if we have time, we'll get to that. But it says we're to add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Virtue simply means doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason and in the right place. When you and I have the opportunity of saying, Lord, I want to walk in a straight line, and in this matter of mental purity or helping someone whose mind is so inundated when they're thinking about this at church and they don't want to, and the temptations just come in that have sins been forgiven and yet they're there, that when we come to that place and we help them through other ways of Bible principle, we'll not get into that today, of cleaning the mind and purifying the mind. And the Bible does give the pathway for that. Yet when we realize it takes a total commitment, if it's a marriage that you're dealing with, it can't just be, well, I just want to eliminate the consequences of the marriage in trouble. Or if it's a financial reversal or whatever it is that we are being able to help someone or it's in our own lives, it must come to this place where there is a total, absolute commitment, where we discern where we are, where we determine where it is that God wants us to be, and where we dedicate ourselves, everything earthly, everything, we yearn for His ways and His will according to His Word. So the template begins with this, a total, absolute commitment to fulfilling the will of God. No doubt in a group this size, there's a number represented here today who are in the midst of making some decisions. It may be about a marital spouse. It may be about how am I going to pay the bill. It may be, well, just a lot of maybes. But what are you using as the template? A template, if you're working with wood and you have a template, you draw the line. Maybe it's a chalk line, it's a straight line. Or maybe it's something else. Or ladies, you're going to sew a dress and you have a pattern that you put down. We would call that a template. What is the template for the decisions you're about to make? Is it emotionally based? No doubt there's emotion involved in it. But what is the template that you're using to make certain that you're staying right according to the standard of God's will? It better start with Romans 12, 1 and 2, because if we move on to R and U and S and T, they're going to fall apart rather quickly. But if you come to that place, a place of holy yielding before God, that altar of innocence, where you come before God and say, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Lord, you mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. There must come that time of total commitment, of saying, all right, I believe I know what God wants me to do, or the Word of God absolutely dictates what I'm to do in this setting. And so I'm all in. I don't know if it's still there or not. It may not be. But years ago, I have a son who graduated from Clemson in microbiology. And I went to one football game there at Clemson. And the coach at the time, and I don't know if he's even still the coach, but I do know the former coach, at least the former coach, had, and as the young men would walk into from the field, they would walk into the locker rooms, and as they're walking into the room, it was, I mean, you could see it on the TV, it's had large letters, if I remember right, it was a green background in white letters, and it had huge letters that said, all in, all in. And on the reverse side, as they're coming out to take the field, it said, all in. Why? They didn't want a football player who was on the field who was thinking about a date that night. He didn't want a football player on the field that was thinking about what he was going to eat when he got home that night and how much he was going to eat when he got home that night. He wanted a football player that when he went onto the field, he was thinking, all in. I'm not going to leave anything on the field. I'm going to give everything I have on that field. When he came back from the game and he started to enter into that locker room, was he all in? What did I give everything that I needed to give? what God requires of you and me so that we can be that proving of that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to come to a place where we're all in and say, Lord, I want to have these other things so that whether I'm talking about mental purity, whether I'm talking about my dating relationship, whether I'm talking about my academic career, no matter what it is I'm talking about, I know, the Lord, that if I simply walk after the Spirit, I shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But there's another pattern for me to follow, and that is to live in the Spirit and to walk in such a way that it's not a deviation, not a detour from what God wants in my life. And it has to start with this matter of all in with Romans 12:1. But then we go quickly to the letter R, and that's righteousness resisted. I've already talked about that just a little, so we'll not stay there long. But Paul, in this text, dealing with the battle of the flesh and the Spirit, my goodness, what a battleground that is. I've been in Israel where they traditionally think that the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place, and you can see Solomon's quarries there. And all that's there, and I think it was Alexander the Great that said that's the greatest battlefield of the world. But there's a battlefield that rages nonstop. And it's in the heart and life of every child of God who is absolutely intent on following God's will and God's word. Because Paul said in Romans 7:21, I find then that there is a law that when I would, that's a word that means we consider a matter and arrive at a conclusion, says when I would do good, I determined to do good, what is present with me? Those of you who know, that's exactly right. He is saying there's a law like the law of second law of thermodynamics or the law of gravity. There's a law that when I determine to do good, evil is present with me. It means there's going to be an alternate ambition that's being presented to my mind. When you and I are determined to be in the will of God, we just have to understand it's a no-brainer. That there's going to come that alternate opinion, that alternate voice that says either by way of enticement, come on, come on, come on, come on, you can do this. Or by way of intimidation that says, if you do that, you know what you're going to lose out on. You know if you do that, you're not going to get to have that. You do this and you're not going to have a friend. You do this and you're going to be single all your life. We just know that there's going to be righteousness resisted. Oh, my friend, we need to become skilled at recognizing that. I wish we had time to go to James chapter 4 and see God's formula for that where he says, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil and he will flee from you, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. But we have to become very skilled, especially at those areas where we're vulnerable, where the devil has slapped us around time and time again. And we have to understand, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Yes, no wonder that thought has come into my mind from my old flesh. No wonder. I don't expect anything other than that from the flesh. It's not going to tell me to live righteously in Christ Jesus. It's going to try to give me an option to where I can put my feet going in a different direction. So we have total commitment, Romans 12:1 and 2. And then we have righteousness resisted, where we just have to say, wait a minute. Ah, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. As for me and my house, Joshua said on his deathbed, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And there has to be that determination, and there has to be that ready recognition of the old flesh. Sometimes we'll get broadsided, not paying attention to it, not even knowing that that was a temptation coming our way. But many times, many of us fall for the same temptations over and over and over again, where if we'll trust in the Lord, lean not unto our own understanding, oh, we'll have that perfect peace that we read about moments ago. Because instead of the temptation being conceived and coming into our lives and we fall for it, then we will have victory in our lives. So we see total commitment, that we have righteousness resisted. And then you have the letter U. The letter U stands for unashamed discernment. Unashamed discernment. A number of times in the Word of God, when you see the word ashamed, it doesn't have the idea necessarily that you just kind of bow your head and go, ah, like that. The word has the idea in mind that there's a promise that's been made, and the one making the promise was not able to fulfill it because of an opposing force. Okay? He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've already read that if we're walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, it says, ye shall not, praise the Lord for promises, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so God's made a promise that if I'm walking after the Spirit, there is not a force that's capable of interrupting that other than my will. There's not a force that can overpower my will and make me sin. And so when you and I understand the remedy for that is not in my own mental cognizance, it's not in my acumen, my mental acumen, my abilities of whatever, but rather it is in, wait a minute, I can do all things through Christ, but also faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Yes, saving faith, no doubt about that. Praise the Lord for saving faith, but also living faith. That when I am dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15, that I'm to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? Because I can rightly divide the word of truth. So in this area of mental purity, or whatever area it is about God's will in your life, then my responsibility is, number one, to make that total commitment. Okay, Lord, no matter how this leads, Holy Spirit, as you're in my heart, and according to Romans 8, 26 through 28, you're interceding for me to the Father according to the will of God. So Holy Spirit, the best that I know, dear Father, the best that I know, this is the direction of your will for my life in my dating or in my academic career or in my whatever it is. Here's the direction I believe and I'm all in. Lord, if midstream you shut that door, you lead me in a different direction, that's fine with me. But Lord, I'm all in. And dear Lord, not only that, I understand that there's going to be a resistance to the righteousness that I believe, not only I believe that I'm planning on pursuing. So I'm looking for that. I've got the folks in the tower at the airport, as they would look at the radar and they would see, wait a minute, there's a blip. We didn't anticipate that blip. Let's see in this airspace if that's a foreign object, what is it that's coming into our airspace? Some years ago, I was able to go up with a friend and fly in a Beechcraft Bonanza, and it's a great airplane, and it's a twin VTOL, and we're up and we're flying out of Athens, Georgia, and just flying around. And I sat in the co-pilot seat, and he said, "Randy, you want to fly it a while?" And I said, "Do I? My goodness, that'd be great." And so we're up there, and I forgot what airspeed we were at, but we're flying away, and all of a sudden, Well, the airplanes I have flown, when you hear that, that means you're about to stall. That's not a good thing when you're up at about 6,000 feet. Now, it's what you're doing when you're coming in for a landing with a low-wing airplane. You want that stall just before you hit down. But we're flying away, and we're up, I don't know, 4, 5, 6,000 feet, whatever it was. And we're flying away, and you hear this, and I said, "That's not good." He said, "Oh, no, no, that's just saying that we're in the Atlanta airspace." There ought to be that irk in our hearts and lives when we're flying along, so to speak, and we're not paying attention. But because you're intent on walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, you're all in. But you know that righteousness is going to be resisted when you're determined to do God's will. And the Holy Spirit sends that irk, if I could put it that way, carefully, but nonetheless, that little knowledge, wait a minute, there's an attitude that's approaching you. There's a view that's approaching you. There's an ambition that's approaching you that's contrary to the will of God. That when you and I stop and think, wait a minute, thank you, Lord, for protecting me because you said there not be a single temptation. You're going to provide a means of escape. Thank you for allowing me to see that. Righteous is resisted, but also unashamed discernment in being able to recognize it. And as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, what a glorious thing it is when He gives us that kind of faith where we can rightly divide the word of truth and we understand this is what God wants me to do here. Here's how I can keep my mental purity. Here's how I can fulfill that responsibility. The template we see of TRU, unashamed discernment, and then we come to the letter S. And what a glorious text this is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. You're familiar with that. Or 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And that's a great text that he's dealing with adding to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge temperance. But before he gets to that, he says this. In verse number 3, chapter 1, 2 Peter. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. And then he says this, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And then he gives us the pattern to follow for that, the template as well. And he gives those eight things, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So the accumulative effect of those things in our lives, when we start with, I'm all in, total commitment. I'm understanding, so I'm keeping the radar alive and active because I know that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And I know that my old flesh has been slapped around with certain things, and I'm going to stay aware of those. I'm going to watch for those blips on the radar. But even when I'm about to get broadsided with a temptation, I'm going to be wanting to walk after the Spirit so adeptly and so fervently in a straight line that all the Holy Spirit has to say, you recognize, you may have not had that temptation, but you recognize the odor that's around it. You recognize the attributes that are being presented. And those are not according to the will of God. Unashamed discernment. And then we have strength secured attributes. What glorious promises he gives in 2 Peter chapter 1. There's no fewer than four. He says in the earlier part, before he says, and beside all this, giving all diligence to add to your faith. Before that, he said that if we're walking in that way, two things are going to happen. We're going to be partakers of the divine nature. Is that the pattern for your life and mine? Partakers of the divine nature, and at the same time, simultaneously as enjoying God's loves and God's peace and God's righteousness and God's holiness as a partaker of His divine nature, simultaneously we're going to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. What a glorious exchange that is. When a mind has been inundated with those things of the past or those things of the present, and we get them right with the Lord, but rather than just staying as an easy target for the old flesh, we say, wait a minute, I'm all in. I may have fallen for that yesterday, but with God's help, I'm going to pay attention. And I want to study the Word, what the Bible says about that particular subject. It may be envy. It may be gossip. It may be exaggeration. It may be the lust of looking. It may be fantasizing. Whatever it is. But I'm going to keep my guard up on that and watch as I see this template of trust, total commitment, understanding that righteousness is always going to be resisted. But also I can do that in-depth study of studying to show myself rightly dividing, and therefore I won't have to be ashamed because the Holy Spirit's going to warn me and equip me with His Word as I've studied it. But then also, strength acquired attributes. These are not the fruit of the Spirit, but rather these are targets for me to go after. He says, add to your faith virtue. That means I am to know what is the right thing at the right time, the right thing to do at the right time for the right reason in the right place. As I study those things that are virtuous about my life where I am now, and you do about you, as we add that to our living faith, we grow stronger, not only in accomplishing the will of God, but also leaving behind the things of the flesh. So as we study it and we know it's virtuous, but then he says knowledge, add knowledge. That's experiential knowledge. Why? When I have added to my saving faith, the living faith, and the virtue that goes with that, then it's going to create those libraries of knowledge where God has blessed in that pursuit. Whether it is the active pursuit of God being wanting me to be on the foreign mission field as a missionary or as a student or whatever it is God's led you to do. He's going to allow you to have that knowledge where perhaps in the past you would have just been easy prey for your old flesh to slap you around by intimidation or enticement, either one of those. But because you've grown in the Lord and you've done the right thing at the right time, you didn't give in to that temptation, then there's going to be that experiential knowledge where, oh, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So that when you do get broadsided and you find your old flesh wanting to give in to that, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you of the victories brought in your life as you've studied the Word and you've not given into the things of the flesh. Oh, what a joy that is. So as we have been partakers of the divine nature, we've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, then we have the final two promises in that. He says we're going to bear fruit. And he says at the end of that passage in 2 Peter 1, he says, and you shall never begin to fall. You'll never fall. Dear friend, what a glorious thing it is in our own lives when we see that God's given us a template. But we're not quite finished with the template. As we finish with the last thing in Philippians 4:8, he says, think on these things. These have to be those kinds of subjects in our lives where it's not because we have a Bible test, or not because we have Old Testament survey, or because we have this or that, or I'm the preacher, so I'm supposed to be in the Bible, so I better study for the next Sunday morning lesson. It's not that. Sunday morning message. It's not just that. It's, Lord, I'm hungry today. Could you give me some fresh bread? Dear Lord, I don't want to just stay away from temptation. Lord, I want to thrive in your word. I want to grow. I want to be more like Jesus, because you said, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So, Lord, when I think about, think on these things, and there's eight there as well when he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just or righteous, whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of good report, whatsoever things are of virtue and whatsoever things are of praise, think on these things. I wish time would allow, we don't have it, but let me just mention Proverbs 16. We're talking about the mental purity. What a glorious chapter this is. Let me just read through it real quickly. We have time. The preparations of the man. This is Proverbs 16. The preparations of the heart of man. Excuse me. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. God's working in you. Paul said it like this, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of whom? Jesus Christ. So he's saying that. Now he says in verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Now here we go. This sounds like letter T, doesn't it? Total commitment. Verse number 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Start today and say, Lord, I have gone astray so many times, but Lord, that was yesterday or earlier this morning. But Lord, I'm dedicating the rest of this day to not being jealous, to not being bitter, to not thinking about things that are not accurate. Oh, Lord, I'm giving you the rest of this day. I'm all in, Lord. I'm all in. And then we come to verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. That sounds like R, doesn't it? Righteousness resisted. We come to verse number 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Lord, I've got all this in my head. I've got all this in my mind. And Lord, I want to know your truth. I've already claimed your mercy. But Lord, I need your truth, how to cleanse my mind, how to have a pure heart, how to have a pure walk, how to have pure ways before you. Verse number 6, by mercy and truth. That sounds like unashamed discernment. Verse number 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. That sounds like strength acquired attributes. When a man's ways please the Lord, even he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. Lord, thank you for helping me to see that this is the way you would have me to do it. Lord, I'm walking in virtue here. Not because I would want to, but because I know that's your will for my life. And then we come to verse number 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. When I was in high school at Bob Jones Academy, I took a class in archery. And they had the gizmo set up. You know, the gizmo is a technical word that has the hay or whatever it is. And then they have a bullseye on there. And I thought, piece of cake. I've done a lot of target shooting. We were in Arizona as a boy, and we'd go out to the desert and do some shooting. And how can a bow and arrow be any different than a rifle? It should be a piece of cake. Well, I did two things at the same time. I missed the right mark and hit the wrong mark. I mean, my arrow went this way and it went that way. But it says, a man deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his path. The word direct has the idea of an arrow. You and I have a template. I put this little one together, but it's from the Word of God. All of us struggle with this thing called the flesh. And we can lay down and just let it slap us around and get the old cleats on and walk all over us. Or we can say, wait a minute, that's not God's will. He's already promised that I don't have to fall for a single temptation. He's able, He's going to provide a means of escape, and I can do all things through Christ, and He's going to continue working in me until the day I see Jesus, either through death or the rapture. And so why would I want to succumb to that when He's told me that if I'm all in, if I trust in Him, and I know that righteousness is going to be resisted, that's a no-brainer. I know every day I wake and I have an ambition to be used of God some way every day. And I have the ambition to fulfill God's will in my life. I know it's going to be resisted. Okay, I've got that down. Now I just got to watch for it. And then if in those areas that I know of and I'm vulnerable, then if I will show myself and go after it in the Word of God and say, Lord, I want to be strong in Your Word so that I can follow the model of Jesus when He was tempted and have the Word of God to quote and have that to come to my aid and my rescue. And it will be that Ephesians 5 battle armor that I have with the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation and all. I won't have to try to think of a sword and a helmet. No, the Word of God will be there. And we'll find that temptation doing a ricochet off, not because of our abilities, but because of God's promises. And then when we intentionally add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and all of those eight, and then as we just rise in the morning and pillow our heads and sleep at night, I hope that in surround sound and in 3D, so to speak, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, He says, whatsoever things are, yes, true and honest. And the word just is translated many times as righteous. Then He goes on and He fulfills the other five. Lord, if I'll do that, then I know that I'll have the promise coming to fruition in my life that You said if I add virtue and faith and knowledge and temperance and all of those, then I'm going to be a partaker of Your divine nature. It's not inevitable that I'm going to fall. It is not inevitable that I'm going to fall. Some of you know, I've mentioned in a class or two of mine, first three preachers I worked for, one while I was in college, not here at Bob Jones, but I would go back and forth to a distant city and I worked with their music program and youth. But the first three preachers I worked for all got mixed up in immorality. And I just became determined, I'm never going to trust a preacher again. I know there's godly preachers out there somewhere, but I was just devastated. The last one treated me like a son. The Lord had to help me understand. It took a while, and I watched a little country preacher for 3 years, straight as an arrow, love God, even though he's in the middle of the country. Love God. God used that to help me in a lot of ways. But it had to get through my thick head that I don't have to fall. I can choose to fall in a skinny mitt, as they say in Texas, but I don't have to. And one of the great ways of preventing that is to have a template that I'm ready. If we're talking about this subject, I can put that template down there and say, am I all in? And am I in these things in my life? If I don't, then it's kind of like winging it and just hoping that everything's going to turn out all right. Far better that I just come and say, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I trust that you will and I will. A very unusual message. Some of this material, some of you know. But I trust it'll help to provide a template so that in the concourses of life, in the areas of life, the journeys of life, that we'll say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I trust you will. Father, I thank you for the privilege of opening thy word. And Lord, even as we saw in Isaiah and a couple of places, that, Father, you're intent on success in our lives and walking with you. Why, you've granted us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, as John said. So, Father, I pray that as a result, perhaps of this simple message, kind of given quickly, but nonetheless a simple message, to serve as a template, that I can use this no matter what setting I'm in, to at least get me started in discovering the will of God. Lord, I pray that I'll follow through it in that in my own life as well. And I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.